with Prohibition repealed in 1959, that put her out of business. But then we move ahead, because in October of 1970, Tulsa County Grand Jury was seated to investigate the attempted assassination of District Judge Fred Nelson. Let's talk about why this all happened.
Well, this isn't just theory, but it's a conclusion. You know, when I was DA, I had a rule. If there was a homicide or any crime of any magnitude, that, at least in the eyes of the police officer or the deputy sheriff or of investigators even, I wanted to know about it, whatever time, day or night it was, so I could go to the scene. And it sort of lent itself to becoming aware of what was around at the time it happened. Because later, when you're in a courtroom and you're going to try to describe something to a jury, you've been there, you've seen it, the sights, the smells, the sounds. And in my mind, it made it a lot easier. So there were a lot of times where I wasn't doing the investigation. Well, there might have been a couple of exceptions to that, but I was basically going to these scenes. Well, one of those was the Nelson bombing, because something of that magnitude, the crime itself was of such a nature that, you know, this is something that's very important. Now, the motive, after all those years of working with it, talking to people, interviewing people, the motive was political. The two men who bombed Judge Nelson were Lester Pugh and Albert MacDonald. Now, Lester Pugh and Albert MacDonald had a friend who was a lawyer named Charles Pope. Charles Pope was running for the position of district judge against Judge Nelson. Also a third party, Jack Tharp, was running. He was another lawyer running for the district judgeship. Well, there's no question, if you were to look at the polls and the reports in the paper and all, Judge Nelson, who was a very popular district judge, very fine district judge, was running for re-election. And it was pretty obvious to anybody that he was going to win again, because he just had a good campaign going and all that. But apparently, these two yahoos, Albert MacDonald and Lester Pugh, thought they were doing a favor to their friend and lawyer, Charles Pope, because they thought if they put Nelson out of the race, that he would probably win. That's cockamamie thinking, but at the same time, these criminal types, they may be sharp in their ways to how to steal and kill, but they're not too sharp sometimes when it comes to reasoning. I believe to this day that the motive initially of that crime, though it gave birth to a lot of other crimes, was based upon their desire to get Charlie Pope elected as district judge in Tulsa County. Now, Jack Tharp would not have known anything about that. I mean, he was running, but, you know, the time of the explosion was primary election morning. I think it was August 25th of 1970. Judge Nelson's lovely wife, Ann, had gone to work at the polls that day. Courthouses were closed on election day. She was gone, and he went out to get him the car. They had a station wagon there, and Judge got into the station wagon to go to vote. When he turned the key, the car blew up, and he was, critically injured. I always say that by the grace of God and the skill of a surgeon, he was saved. He had a large belt buckle he was wearing that day. The bomb had been placed between the firewall and the engine of the car under the hood, and it blew parts back into his body, and some were deflected by that belt buckle. Elsewise, he probably would not have made it.
So did he ultimately recover and lived a full life?
He did recover, and he went back to the bench, and then later he went into private practice and had the firm that now is known as Hall Estill. He passed away, and quite frankly, he was not what I would call old. I'm 76, and he wasn't 76. And I just always, in my mind, I think, well, maybe the trauma, the damage done, if that contributed to a death, that probably not the death of an average man today.
Where was his car?
If you go to 41st Street, where Edison High School is, directly across the street on the corner, the house sort of sits on that corner. I think it's still a gray house. It's still there. The driveway was on the intersecting street. If you were driving west on 41st, his house would have been on the left-hand side. There was a street that teed into 41st Street there. I can't remember the name of it. His house was located there, and the garage was on the north side.
Albert MacDonald, wasn't he known as Big Al?
Big Al.
Was a primary suspect. But then we bring in Cleo Epps here, do we not? Because Cleo Epps and MacDonald were friends.
Yes, they were. As a matter of fact, at one time, I think Cleo had anticipated that she and Albert would be getting married. But that didn't come to pass. Instead, he married the widow of a big-time fence who lived up in Dewey, Oklahoma. That did not make Cleo real happy. In any event, I think the movement of events after that bombing, if I could sort of give you that, maybe that would help sort of line it up in your mind. It was a sunny, hot day there in August, and I was out with Bill Means, who was a judge. We're playing a fortune golf course. and got a call from Chief Purdy. Jack Purdy was the chief of police then, that Judge Nelson had been critically injured in this explosion. So I jumped in the car, went over there and looked this all over and so on, and immediately went to the office, and Frank Thurman, who later became sheriff of Tulsa County, I think Frank just passed away here within the last 3 weeks or so. We assembled, Frank and I, at his office and then my office, and I'm going through files trying to say, somebody PO'd about the judges or some case, blah, blah, blah. We even, you know, were asking around. We were asking people. Courthouse was closed, but I called my people in. Then Frank and I are sitting there talking. We said, we need to talk to Jack Tharpe and Charlie Pope. Why? Well, because it would sound like something out of Hollywood, but you say, well, yeah, but maybe they know something, since they're running in opposition to him for the spot. Called Tharpe, and he was very cooperative, very helpful. Could not talk to Pope. He wouldn't talk to us, which right away sort of made, okay, that doesn't sound too cool. He had another lawyer call us back and say, oh, he'll talk to you when he feels like he can do it now, but he just doesn't feel right about this right now. You know, something that it rang bells, obvious bells in my mind. Okay, so there's a wonderful old man named Jack McKenzie. He was a highway patrolman. Then he retired from the highway patrol and became an investigator for the Creek County District Attorney's Office. I think Jack became chief of police over there. I don't know if Jack's still there or not. He calls and advises Thurman that he knew there was going to be a bombing. I said, you knew? Well, he said, no, I didn't know who was going to get bombed or where it was going to happen. But he said, I had some information that was given to me by a source that indicated that there was some dynamite that had been taken and might be used in some kind of a bombing. One thing led to another, ultimately led to a communication that I had with Cleo Epps, went out and met her in her front yard at this house. She had had a stash of dynamite. She had buried some kind of a can or container in the ground, and she kept her dynamite that she used for blowing up stumps in building this area in that can. Well, she tells me that Albert had come to her with Lester and wanted some of that dynamite, and they took some of it. She became fearful about it, and that's whenever she apparently contacted McKenzie, I guess, and told him that. Now, that doesn't mean that that dynamite was used there or anything like that, but at least it was a beginning. And from that beginning, in investigating other things, we ultimately developed another potential witness. And, oh, by the way, I have to tell you that in talking to Cleo Epps, I said, if there were a grand jury, would you testify? She said, yes, if I can do it in disguise. That was quite a leap for her, and I said, okay. So then Artis Delbert Self, a well-known criminal down through the southeast of this United States, had been involved in a lot of crime. He'd been brought back from North Carolina to serve some time for crime in Oklahoma at Creek County. Being brought back, they had him under some kind of a, call it extrajudicial probation, where he was in contact with law enforcement, but at the same time was not inside the walls. In fact, he was driving a wrecker truck at one point over there in Creek County. Well, he had been a person who associated with Lester Pugh in particular in crimes. So he, through Mr. McKenzie, agreed to talk with me. And he had information about how he had instructed, among other things, instructed Albert McDonald how to put a bomb on a car. He even took us out and showed us where they did their teaching, using a small explosive and a piece of pipe and so on. So he agreed to testify before a grand jury. Under Oklahoma law, grand juries would only be called by petition of the people a certain number of signatures required, or by a district judge. So I went to Bob Sims, my old boss. I asked him if he would do so, and he said, oh, yes. He called it, and grand jury was impaneled in September 1970. Grand jury proceedings are secret. Persons are sworn, including myself, not to divulge testimony, anything they learn in a grand jury room. Now, you can, in theory, go out, and if you were, say, a person being questioned by a grand jury, you can tell them what you said, but not what was asked of things. I mean, in theory, there's theories about that. But nevertheless, when I had a grand jury to handle, I would very scrupulously comply with that. So I can't say what is said by any witness and wouldn't, even though many years have passed. But before the grand jury started, we had kept it sort of secret at first so that we could issue subpoenas. And we issued subpoenas for Lester Pugh, Albert McDonald. You know, I didn't have any kind of naive idea that they're going to come in there and spill their guts, you know. But same time, who knows, something might come up. Lester Pugh, Albert McDonald, Wayne Padgett, Bob Jenkins, Martin Edwards. It would look like a who's who of criminal activity around Oklahoma. Before we could serve Lester and Albert. They got word, and they left town. Bob Jenkins was not in town. Missed him. His wife was there, Georgia. So anyway, we have the grand jury. Arla Self, Martin Edwards, and Cleo Epps do testify before the grand jury. Cleo in disguise. Matter of fact, I'd had to look at her twice to recognize who she was when they brought her in. In any event, after that, grand jury came back and did not return any indictments. So investigation continues. Nothing's happened.